What if a nation's entire identity rested on a single belief that there would always be more land, more resources, more room to run? For over a century, America operated on this exact premise. The frontier wasn't just geography, it was a promise that any social problem could be solved by moving west, that any conflict could be diffused by expansion, that limits simply didn't apply. Frederick Jackson Turner's 1893 thesis crystallized this into national mythology. America's uniqueness stemmed from free land stretching endlessly westward, creating political equality and rugged individualism. Presidents from Jefferson to Kennedy invoked pioneering spirits to justify everything from Indian removal to foreign wars. But what happens when the frontier closes? When a nation built on endless growth hits a wall, literal and metaphorical, it faces a reckoning with all the problems it spent centuries avoiding. British colonists arrived with expansion hardwired into their mission. Native Americans were obstacles, some killed by diseases Puritans saw as divine intervention, others murdered as satanic agents, still others enslaved through legal mechanisms like forced labor patents. Benjamin Franklin reframed this violence as progress. His 1751 pamphlet argued that, unlike Europe's demographic trap, America's abundant land multiplied wealth with each settler, imagining America scouring our planet, visible from Mars. When King George prohibited westward settlement in 1763, colonists revolted, not over taxation, but over their right to expand. Jefferson's declaration traced liberty to Saxon freemen holding land in absolute right. For him, migration wasn't merely freedom, it was freedom's source. Madison's Federalist No. 10 completed the ideology. Rather than keeping republics small, as classical theory demanded, America would extend the sphere to dilute factionalism. Expansion became the universal solution, even for problems it created. The 1803 Louisiana Purchase added over 800,000 square miles, making America's border nearly irrelevant. Jefferson wondered, who can limit the extent to which the federative principle may operate effectively? Unlike Spain's former colonies, the United States became the solitary republic of the world with no outer limit. This created something unprecedented, a republic whose borders constantly moved. The founders viewed westward expansion as their revolution's continuation, what historian Peter Onuf calls a permanent revolution. Jefferson deployed federal power against Native Americans, using predatory debt to force land cessions. "We shall push our trading houses," he wrote, "and be glad when they fell into debt and had to sell land." When economic pressure failed, he threatened force. "We have only to shut our hand to crush them." As settlement pushed westward, expansion became identified not just as a condition of freedom, but as freedom itself. Having defeated the old world, Americans resisted history itself, the notion that limits, decline, and death might apply to them. Madison's equation of the republic with an ever-inflating sphere symbolized the American absolute, a logic allowing no distinction between inside and outside. America had to take all to be all to realize what Jefferson called its final consolidation. Andrew Jackson transformed expansionist ideology into white mass politics. His 1828 victory over John Quincy Adams marked a pivotal shift. Despite growing worker activism, Jackson promised to restore primitive simplicity and purity through minimal government, strategically forestalling Northern emancipation demands while empowering white men. The 1830 Indian Removal Act answered restless whites wondering, are we free men or slaves? By forcibly relocating 50,000 Native Americans and opening 25 million acres to settlement and slavery, Jackson satisfied his true friends of liberty. Indian removal redefined frontier from military front to way of life, what Turner would call the outer edge of the wave separating civilization from savagery. This unleashed what one legal theorist called an irresistible tide of Caucasian democracy across the continent. More white men considered themselves free than ever before, defining their liberty in opposition to the people of color they subjugated. The safety valve metaphor, borrowed from steam engine technology, captured how expansion diffused social tensions. The West became the release valve for restless workers, excess enslaved populations, and social unrest. Though free land rarely functioned as promised, the frontier served as a standing threat that slightly shifted power between labor and capital. John Quincy Adams recognized westward expansion's vicious cycle, each war's effects becoming the cause of the next. He used recoil to describe what we call blowback, arguing that Jacksonian settler violence created addiction. Indian removal was the cause of the cause, leading to Texas, and violent tribal displacement toward Mexico would inevitably meet resistance, what Adams called retributive justice from heaven. The Mexican-American War confirmed his fears. U.S. troops committed horrific atrocities, rape, murder, and scalping, with General Winfield Scott reporting crimes that would make heaven weep. The Eastern press fueled war fervor, depicting Mexicans as degenerate and servile. The war ended with Mexico ceding about 500,000 square miles. While European workers in 1848 revolted against economic inequality, America's working class directed energies outward rather than upward, joining the gentry to fight Indians and Mexicans. The November 1848 presidential election offered voters two Indian killers, Lewis Cass and Zachary Taylor. The Jacksonian consensus unleashed market capitalism through Indian dispossession while celebrating minimal government that nonetheless grew more powerful in pushing the frontier forward. The Civil War shattered the Jacksonian coalition and forced America to confront citizenship and freedom. The Freedmen's Bureau, established in 1865, became what W.E.B. Du Bois called the most extraordinary and far-reaching institution of social uplift that America has ever attempted, distributing necessities, founding schools and hospitals, and regulating labor relations. Yet America quickly abandoned Reconstruction for frontier expansion. In 1872, the Freedmen's Bureau chief was reassigned to Arizona, symbolizing this shift. The machinery of Western expansion, the Department of Agriculture, Morrill Land Grant Act, Pacific Railroad Act, and Homestead Act, offered liberty and empire advancing in lockstep. The Spanish-American War of 1898 marked another turning point. Conquering Cuba allowed Southerners to prove patriotism and reconcile with the North through empire building. War unified the country through overseas conflict, updating the Jacksonian consensus for the 20th century, with the military providing its own frontier of social mobility, education, and healthcare. The U.S.-Mexico border embodies America's shift from expansion to enclosure. What began as stone markers in the 1850s with free movement has become a militarized barrier dividing indigenous communities, farms, wildlife habitats, and towns, a sterile waste now obsessively fortified. Before World War I, America had virtually open borders except for Chinese exclusion. Everything changed in 1917 with literacy tests, entrance taxes, and quotas. The Border Patrol operated with impunity, many patrollers active KKK members. Franklin Roosevelt, who studied under Turner at Harvard, inverted the frontier thesis to explain the Great Depression. The New Deal reframed the frontier as pathology, a social disorder manifesting as insistence on national uniqueness. After World War II, the frontier metaphor returned through Cold War ideology, with America's security frontier encompassing a global radius maintained through considerable violence. Trump's wall symbolizes the frontier's final closing, a nation trapped by history rather than striding atop it. For over a century, expansion allowed America to avoid its social problems. Now, mired in endless wars while unable to imagine endless growth, an entire generation faces diminished expectations. The question America spent centuries avoiding has arrived: what happens when there's nowhere left to run?